Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we're watching episode 438 of Power Rangers Wild Force, episode... Oh my god.
20.
Episode 20. Three's a crowd.
It aired June 29th, 2002. Written by Catherine Torpy and Bergen Williams, directed by Taro Sakamoto.
Oh, a dual writing team.
Dually. Tor and Bergen.
Tor and Mikey.
Tor and Bergen are my favorite Harry Potter store.
Have you seen this? Tor and Mikey Muscles from Christmas Bounty is what made me think of it.
Okay.
And my head connected some dots.
The seminal classic Christmas Bounty.
This hot new Netflix holiday special coming out. The night before Christmas.
I saw. Oh, Annie Creighton tweeted about it the other day, and I was like, yes, feed it to me like grapes.
I cannot wait.
Tis the season. I know we're in October now. We're in spooky times. Nobody wants to hear us talk about Christmas times, but I'm a Christmas boy over a spooky time boy.
Same.
And to be completely fair, none of them have anything on the quality of Easter candy. So don't even try that. But there's going to be so many. There's one that looks really good called Claus or Klaus. It's like an animated movie.
Yeah, I saw that one too.
It looks beautiful. It's about a postman helping a magic toy maker become Santa Claus. So that's exactly what I'm here for. But yeah, the night before Christmas, K-N-I-G-H-T. He's from Night Times.
Yeah, but he got here somehow.
Because of Christmas.
And like a love-struck science teacher has to help him get back.
Oh, it's so good. It's going to be so good. Anyway, Morphin Grid. No, that's early. I'm way early.
And the science teacher is played by Vanessa Hudgens,
who
you may know from The Princess Switch and probably other stuff, but none of that matters.
The Princess Switch, a perfectly movie. It is a one-metric movie. It's barely about Christmas. They should have called it The Christmas Switch and not The Princess Switch. Oh, well.
Well, we got what we got.
We got what we got. I'm excited. I love Christmas movies. So that's going to be coming up. We're going to be talking about that a lot more probably next month and the month after. Anyway, if you're new here, hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the show. It's Christmas times almost. It's
when
Halloween times.
When
I don't want to rush
up on
through
Power
Halloween.
Rangers. When we catch up on Power Rangers, we're going to become a Netflix holiday movie podcast.
Oh yeah. Yes. Only one episode a week because they'll be very long.
But for now,
I guess we'll talk about Power Rangers.
We're just Power Rangers podcast.
What we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers for now, and then we come back, we talk about it. You can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs, and you're going to want at least Netflix before we talk about those Christmas specials.
So this, what season number is this?
10.
10, okay, so we're not even really halfway.
No, I
through.
Think we're...
So we're going to be doing Power Rangers for at least another 6 years.
Oh, for sure.
So by then, the night before Christmas will be a holiday classic.
It'll be a classic. There'll be the night before Christmas 9 out.
Oh, I
can't
wait.
A night before Christmas 6, deck the halls. Yeah, anyway, let's go watch Three's a Crowd.
Wild time.
And we're back and we just watched Three's a Crowd. And were you looking for more hot Danny content? Because boy howdy, is this a whole ass Danny episode.
Yep, it is.
HeyJakeandJosh.com, that's our website. That's where the archives are. You can go there and listen to old episodes of the show, all the old ones. You can also go to our new classic feeds, which have old episodes in a more convenient, downloadable manner. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at Morphingrid. We're on Autumn Glory Podcast. We're on Google Play, Podknife, Stitcher, Podbay, Pod Baby. Pod.
I can't. Pod's a crowd.
Pod's a
that plays three podcasts at the same time.
Oh, that would be a nightmare. Or it's only podcasts that have three people on them and one of them doesn't talk a lot. Because I feel like that is a whole genre of podcast.
Yeah, the other two just keep talking over them.
Yeah. So you can go there. You can leave us a rating review. That helps out a bunch. We'd appreciate it. We're also on Patreon. Patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. For as little as $1 a month, you get some cool stuff in return. You got Tattoo Teen Jelly Fighters from Beverly Hills episodes, which we definitely need to find a time to record. Couple of those babies.
Yeah, I don't know where that went. It's got to be here somewhere.
You've got it, like, you don't go anywhere else.
And if I do, I don't bring Tattoo Teenage Alien yeah. Fighters from Beverly Hills with
not,
me.
Not sort of a carry-on item that you would need to take with you places.
No, it's not one of the essentials for leaving the house.
You got your keys, got your wallet, got your copy of Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills on DVD.
It's around. I can find it, I'm sure.
We gotta find a time to record a couple more episodes of that. There's also bonus episodes of other stuff, and you get early episodes of the show. So if you want to help us out, you can head on over to patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. Speaking of, we got a couple new patrons.
Hey, all right.
Two of these might be repeats, but I don't think so. But I don't not think so. So first up is Seth H.
Thank you, Seth.
And Jackalope Oddity.
Thanks, Jack.
The Benhattan.
The Manhattan?
Benhattan.
Oh, Benhattan. I thought you said, like, the city of Manhattan.
The city of Manhattan.
Or the island of Manhattan?
It's both. It's like a borough of New York City, but it's okay. An island. I don't know how New York works.
Anyway, it's not them anyway. They didn't give us money.
No, the Benhattan did.
Thank you, Benhattan.
And so did Catherine B.
Thanks, Catherine.
And those are all the new patrons. We really appreciate y'all helping out. We do have an email, too. I don't know if we have reviews. You can check that if you want.
Yeah, I guess.
I checked last week.
I guess I'll check them.
I guess I'll see. But we've got a new email from Benny. Animal Facts number 3, Teethy Swimmers. Heyo, here we go. Here we go. Today, we're talking sharks and how we need them. How we need a better word than fish to describe them. Calling sharks and their relatives rays and chimera fish does a disservice to how cool and different they are. First off, sharks barely have bones. Their internal support structure are made from cartilage, which allows the muscles to flex more and increase their swim speed. It also means they have no marrow and have to make blood cells a totally different way from bonefish and their relatives. They steal it from other fish. That's why they're always chomping on all the fish they can find. They gotta steal new blood.
That's very weird.
I don't know if that's true or not. That's a fake thing I made up. That's not part of the email.
Oh. Well, look, I'm looking at reviews, so I'm half listening to the email right now. We don't have any new ones.
No new ones? Okay.
No, I talked about this one, I think. Yeah, I read that one already.
Hey,
no,
now.
No new ones.
Yeah.
Whoa now.
Sharks also lack swim bladders, and their gill structures are very different. The way they breathe is different from fish, and one of the reasons sharks keep moving to stay alive. Then we go back outside and look at their skin. Sure, they have scales, and bonefish have scales, but those scales are made from keratin. Sharks, their scales are basically modified teeth. What? I repeat, sharks have teeth-like skin covering their bodies.
Yeah, have you never seen like a close-up of shark skin?
No.
It's terrifying.
Oh, no. I didn't know this.
Yeah, they're nightmare monsters.
Did
That's
anyone,
what lives in the water.
Did anyone
That's
need
why we
more
got
of
out.
A reason to be scared of sharks?
That's why we were like, hey, we're not going to live in here with you.
We're going to go on land.
We're going to grow legs and get out of here.
Please don't follow us. It's the only place we're safe. So these creatures have significant structural differences, but we call them both fish because they're in the water. It'd be like calling a bat a bird because it can fly. Sure, convergent evolution will bring you similarities and they share an ancestor, but in most definitions, it's the same for both. End rant. Random shark fact time. Are you
so
ready?
Wait, is this a suggestion that we don't reclassify sharks as an existing kingdom, but create a new one for sharks?
I feel like, because like octopuses aren't fish, but are they in the wet kingdom? Is there just an underwater?
I don't know. They're mollusks, I think.
What I
so is that
these aliens? First of all, I don't know what they're classified as, but these aliens.
Because we've got birds, mammals, reptiles, amphibians, and fish. Those are the five that are taught in school.
Yeah, and fish is like everything wet. So technically, sharks is fish. But I feel like we're looking at a rectangle square situation.
Everything wet except for whales and dolphins. They're mammals.
They're mammals.
Because they have to breathe air.
So sharks are like half mammal, half fish. They're the daywalker. They're all the blade of underwater. So here's some random shark facts.
Makes sense with all the teeth.
See? I think everything lines up. Some of the oldest creatures on this planet are Greenland sharks. They live in the Arctic and are mostly blind. Okay. Largest shark is the whale shark. Bull sharks can go into fresh water. No body of water is safe from the bull shark. Oh, no. Cows account for more human death per year than sharks. Maybe more on that in the next email. Thresher sharks use the top of their long tail fins to whip fish and can cut them in half with this technique. This is more impressive when you remember it's not underwater and has to overcome more resistance than air. Why? Why are sharks these horrible monster killer machines?
They were designed to do one thing, kill and eat fish.
I guess.
Or anything. Kill whales, and eat whatever. Sometimes,
I thought this thing about cows is going to be like, sharks love killing and eating cows when they can. And I feel like probably, yeah.
They love that tasty, tasty beef.
Dang. Well, that's all we got for housekeeping stuff. You ready to jump into Three's a Crowd?
Yeah.
AKA another different Hallmark movie ass episode of Power Rangers Wild Force. Not as good as the first one.
No.
Not to spoil the end, but no, I wasn't as charmed by it as I was by Coal on a Farm.
Yeah, that one had a lot more charm to it than
yeah.
Danny's still dumb.
Yeah. We start off in the animarium and they're reading a newspaper and it says a wedding dress villain kidnaps another bride. So apparently the way they set it up is that it's not an org. It's just like a person doing this, but it is an org, as they will mention in one second.
I guess the press just hasn't caught wind of the term yet.
That makes sense.
So it's they don't even say monster. It says wedding dress villain.
Wedding dress villain.
Like it's an old timey silent movie.
Yeah. It's going to tie them brides to the train tracks. Danny's like, how could he do this? Love is the most important thing ever. And weddings are love. So they can't. He can't do this to weddings.
And they're also all talking like they have tried to stop him for like a week now. And he just keeps slipping away.
Yeah, they will mention later that, like, they keep losing him. Like, they just, every time they try to catch him, they keep losing him.
Now, we'll see that he's definitely got a handful of brides before this episode even started. Yeah. So.
I'm not clear on the org's plan, but we'll get there. So then, so Danny's all about this, and he's like, guys, love. And, like, that's the sentence? Like, that's his whole point.
While he's going on about love, we get this like wistful shot of Shayla looking into the middle distance.
Yeah, it's just
definitely thinking about Merrick.
Yep. We'll come back to Merrick. Merrick makes a very tiny cameo in this episode, but I do have a couple thoughts about it at the end. So the pool does a squirt, and they're like, "It's a wedding org. All right, let's go." And they look up, and Danny's gone. He's already going.
Yeah.
To fight this wedding org.
I don't know Danny's last name.
I don't know it either.
He's Danny Baby, Warrior Danny Baby. Of Love.
They go looking. They're chasing it through like a bunch of places. They call it a church, but it definitely looked like a reception hall.
Yeah, I've seen some churches that look like this.
Okay.
They have like weird hallways, and then there's like the big church room.
Right. It just reminded me of, like, the upstairs at the Monadnock Inn, where like my friend Josh got married.
It's like if they build a church into an old doctor's office or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So he goes into the bride's room, and she's there. And you know who else is there? Kendall. That's right. She's not gone forever. She's back. And yep. She's there delivering flowers.
Also, everyone's super cool about the fact that the Black Power Ranger just burst into the bride's room and was right? Is everybody okay?
Yeah, Kendall's like, the guy's room is down that way if you're looking for that. You're in a black suit, so clearly you're in the wedding party now.
Right? And then, like, another bridesmaid comes in the room behind him and is like, you need to get out of here. No boys allowed.
Yeah, and I was like, she knows what's up. She's like, girls only, get out of here. So she pushes him out, and he's like, oh, Kendall, she's so beautiful. And then we cut to wedding man, and they say, okay, so the org this week is a dress. Big, bright, like, red lips. They call it a wedding. They call it, like, a guy every time. So yeah,
they refer to it as he.
Yeah, so that's just what we're going with.
This is a season 2 monster design. This is a Lord Zedd monster if I've ever seen one.
It looks pretty Lord Zedd. It looks like Lord Zedd was like, make this wedding dress into a monster. And they did.
Oh, a fly landed on that wedding dress? Perfect.
Boosh. Nice. He, like, has a bunch of mannequins, and he, like, gets a woman down into his, like, secret lair and then turns her into a mannequin, too. And that's it. That's what's going on with her.
He just collects pretty wedding dresses.
Yep.
And then turns the people wearing them into mannequins to display them in a secret lair only for himself.
Yes. And the other part about this is that they aren't completely mannequins. Like, they're not silent. They can still yell and scream and stuff.
Yeah, they're definitely conscious, but they can't move. Yeah. And they sound like they're in the other room, like they're a little muffled.
Yes. It's a little terrifying to think about, but that's what his whole deal is. So we cut back up to the animarium, and they're like, can't believe we got, they're like talking about like how we got away, and like he's got to be around, like how to have a lair around there. And they're like, yeah, and while this is happening, Danny's just daydreaming about Kendall, and he's like, oh, and then he has a daydream about him getting married to Kendall, and they're at a church, and then there's wedding man, and he grabs Kendall, and he's like, no, starts running, and then they're like, Danny, he's like, what, I gotta go, I should warn Kendall to not go near the church, yep, that's it. And they're like, yeah, good idea, go do that.
Yeah, sure, if it gets you out of here.
Also, I do want to point out, also, he's like, can I borrow your bike to Alyssa in this? I don't know what the tone he was going for was, but he doesn't nail any of them.
She gives him this look like, yeah.
Yep.
Like, of course you can. Why? What? Why are you shouting at
me? Yeah, like, don't yell. Like, I'm right here. So then we cut to him. Real quick, I do want to, actually, you know what? I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it for a minute from now, or I guess like 10 minutes from now. So he goes down there and he bumps into a car, like a guy like comes up and parks or like stops, and Danny like bumps into it. And the guy's like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm so sorry. Are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm okay. I got to go talk to Kendall. And he's like, well, I got to go talk to Kendall. And like, they set this guy up, like, is like, oh, he's just like a regular, like a cool dude. Right.
Yeah.
But later they're going to turn that on its head. But like, yeah. Actually, he's a dink though.
As soon as he realizes like Danny likes Kendall too.
Yeah.
He flips that dink switch.
Yeah, he dinks it right up to 11.
He alphas up. I never caught it. Maybe you did, or maybe they never said it. Does this boy get a name?
I call him Robert in my notes.
Okay, I was calling him Brad.
He could be a Brad. He could be Bradbert.
It could be. Bradbert is a very shitty rich boy name.
Yeah, so we'll call him Bradbert, but no. He does not get an official name.
That's
not
weird, because he's like a pretty integral part of the story.
Yep.
Until he disappears and doesn't matter anymore.
Yep. That happens a lot in this episode. He's like, well, I got to go talk to her. And he's like, well, I also have to go talk to her. And he's like, well, I was here first, so I'll talk to her first, and then you can come back later. And he's like, well, actually, I was here first because I parked the car in front of you, and so you can just wait. So they go up to the door of the Turtle Cove florist.
Shop.
All of those. And Kendall comes out at like the same time they're trying to go in. They're like, oh, what are you doing? And they're both like, hi, Kendall. And she's like, great.
She's immediately like, I don't want this.
She's like, cool, I have to go. I need to deliver flowers.
Also, she is at work. Brad.
Yeah.
I get Danny is trying to like warn her not to go somewhere where she might be killed.
Right.
But what is Brad doing? Why Brad is he here? He's here to accost a woman at her job.
Yeah. Bradford's here to like just corner a woman where she can't just like leave, which we haven't said it in a while, but like, hey, pro tip. Don't ask anybody out at work.
Don't.
Because they are not allowed to go away from there. And that's a real shitty thing to do. Helpful hints from our family to yours this holiday season.
Pro tips for life.
Danny's about to be like, you can't go there. And she's like, well, I have to. It's my job. And then Brad Bird's like, well, what he means is he can't go alone. I'll give you a ride. And so they go over to the car. And he's like, I have to come with you. Let me come with you.
He pushes her to the car.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
She is obviously like, I don't want to get into this car.
He is clearly the first boyfriend in any given Hallmark movie.
She gets into the car. I guess we kind of do get the impression that she does know this boy, so that is at least not completely icky.
Yeah, she's not like, I don't know who you are, blonde man. At least familiar with each other.
And maybe they're trying to play it off as like, she's just like concerned about Danny because she's being whisked away, but it just looks like she's like, because she looks back at Danny as they drive away and it just looks like, please get me out of
here.
Hey,
I'm being kidnapped, I think.
He's taking me.
It seems like they want it to play like, ooh, are they already dating? Like, what's right. going on here? But it never reads that way. So Danny's like, let me come with you. And Brad Bird's just like, it's a two-seater. And then gets in the car and drives away. And so Danny starts biking after him, and it's weird and sad.
It is very weird. They get to a stoplight, and she's still looking back.
Turned all the way around.
This freaking nerd on his bike is just like huffing and puffing, pedaling to catch up to him. And when he was first biking to the church, I don't know if you realize this, but he had that thing in like the lowest gear because he was pumping and pumping. Oh. And that bike was barely moving.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, Danny, turn those gears up,
get that boy up to six, my man.
You're in a hurry. You don't need to be on 1-1.
You've got big thick legs. I know you can pump it harder than this. So he gets up to them at the stop sign, at the stoplight. And then it turns green and they drive away. And I'm like, this is just sad. Like, he just looks kind of pathetic.
Yeah, at this point, I was like, he's kidnapping her. This is legitimately a kidnapping.
This is a crime now. So then we just kind of cut from there to the church where they're both like doing that overeager rival thing where she's like, can you put those flowers over there? And, you know, one on each side of the door. And they each have this giant bouquet and they run over and they put it down and they run back. And I'm like, you both look extremely desperate. It's not a good look for anybody. And then
I do like that somewhere in the car ride from hell, she was like, I'm going to use this.
Yeah, right. She like figured out what's going on. She's like, yeah, I could use two more. I could use some free labor. Then she's like, can you move that table over there? And she's not even like looking at them. And they're like fighting about, they're both picking up the table, like on either side.
They're both trying to move it in different directions.
Yeah. And they're like circling each other. And she's like, guys, over there. Come on.
She turns around. She was like, over there.
Like, and then they just kind of like,
this is not hard. I could just do it myself.
Yeah. Then they put it down there and they run over and say, all right, now can you move all this banquet stuff over to the buffet table? And so they, and this one, I was like, oh man, she's gonna get fucked up.
I thought that table was dumping over.
I thought for sure. All that happens is that Danny trips. Does Brad Bird trip him, or does he just trip on his own accord?
They're both running, and I think he just trips.
Okay.
He just gets tangled in his own feet.
He trips because, you know, the bison, a noble and graceful animal, did not transfer all of its abilities over to Danny. So he just pratfalls and throws a bunch of silverware all over the floor.
This is so weird because they're trying to play it up as like Danny likes Kendall, but Kendall has this rich, fancy boyfriend. But she's not interested in Brad at all.
No.
Because he falls and dumps all the silverware and she's like, oh my God, Danny, are you okay?
She runs right over to Danny.
she gets down and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And she's like, it's okay. We'll clean it up. And she's like,
silverware.
Yeah. She's super just like, it's cool. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
Get rid of Brad.
I think that this is like a lot of this is like a product of the times where, you know, she is a prize to be won and not necessarily a character.
Yes.
And it kind of sucks.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I have a huge comment in that regard later on.
Yeah, I think I know around when it's gonna happen. As they're like picking stuff up, Wedding Man bursts in and he's like, "I'm here to steal a bride. I love doing that." Everyone starts screaming and running. Danny squares up and like starts fighting some nutties that are there.
Yeah, because Wedding Man brought a bride into the room with him.
Like over his shoulder,
yeah.
Like he's an old, like again, like he's an old timey villain about to tie her to a train tracks.
Somehow she got off of that and ran behind where Danny, Brad, and Kendall are. Because then the nutties go to grab her again, and that's when Danny like starts fighting them.
I don't think he came in with her. I think he grabs her at some point,
maybe
but
he,
I don't.
Maybe he chased her in there.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. Because, yeah, she does run right behind Danny. So he, like, squares up, and then, like, some knights are coming at him. He's, like, fighting them, and it's actually, like, pretty good. Like, you know, I think we've mentioned it a couple times, but all the unmorphed fights this season have been pretty dope.
Yeah, they're not bad. This is when Kendall gets knocked through a bunch of wine glasses, right?
Yeah, she gets thrown through a pyramid of wine glasses. So that's pretty rough for her. But Danny, like, helps her up and then, like, goes back to fighting, but then the you know, Wedding Man grabs the bride, and he's like, go, I'll stay here. You get Kendall to safety to Brad Burt. And so she's like, no, I can stay. He's like, no, I'll be fine. You go. So they start running away, and they get behind, like, some gifts, and he, like, looks and doesn't see them, and then, like, they push something, so they're, like, back, and they can see him again, and he's like, oh, they're not here. And so then Danny morphs. And they both see him morph.
Yeah, they tried to get out the door, but it was locked. And so they went out.
Right.
They went to go out like a different side door. And so he thought they went out that first door. So when he looked back there and they were gone, he was like, okay, it's fine.
Right.
But instead they were behind more wine glasses, or maybe it was a pile of gifts.
I think it was a bunch of presents, because in a second he like pushes them at a nutty, and that knocks the nutty down, and then they run away. But they see Danny morph, and this is the thing that I was about to bring up, but then I realized this is the perfect time. We see Danny go from Danny to Black Wild Ranger. Black Wild Ranger is significantly skinnier,
yeah,
than Danny. Danny's a big, broad boy.
Yeah.
And I feel like they could have tried getting a stuntman about the same width.
Yeah.
It's just really noticeable. So he goes back to fighting. The bride is being, like, carried around like a rag doll at this point. The others show up as Wedding Man's trying to run away. And they, like, attack him while he's holding the bride. And he ends up launching the bride, who lands in Danny's arms. And then Wedding Man's like, ah, beans, I'll come back later. And he disappears. I don't know if he teleported or if he just, like,
he teleported out.
Okay, did he? Okay, I was like, he just is gone now. I was writing a note.
He was like, ah, you're ruined my day, and he leaves.
Okay. So then we cut back up to the Animarium, and Danny's there making a bracelet while everybody else makes a plan. And they're like, all right, we're going to go down and find something, whatever. I don't know what the plan was. The plan was we're going to do Power Rangers stuff again. And they're like, Danny, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I made this bracelet for Kendall.
Well, Alyssa goes over and is like, what's that?
Right.
So why aren't you helping out?
What are you doing arts and crafts time over here for, bud? And he's like, it's for Kendall. And she's like, I get it. So then he's like, I'm going to go down there to find her to see if she's okay. And so he goes to the florist and she's like, hey, is Kendall here? And like, there's a receptionist and she's like, oh, you didn't hear? She's in the hospital. And Danny's like, what? And I was like, why? Because she got thrown through wine glasses, but then she was like back up and running around.
Well, Brad carried her out.
The carrier?
She was leaning on him.
Okay. I thought he was just like kind of like pulling her along. But okay. So I guess she was actually injured. And so Danny runs to the hospital And he goes up to the nurse station in the hospital and goes, I need to see my friend, Kendall.
And the nurse doesn't say anything. It's just like looking at him. thankfully for her, Brad comes in and is like, oh, hey, Danny. Oh, hi, Danny.
Yeah, because the nurse should have been like, you're going to have to give me more than just one name.
Kendall. That could be first or last name.
We've got dozens of those. It's a fairly common name. So then Brad Burke comes up and he's like, oh, hey, Danny, I'll take you to see Kendall. But first, I need to talk to you outside. And he's like, okay, fine. So I go outside and they're like in the parking lot under a tree or something. And he's like, I'm blackmailing you. He's like, how are you going to take care of her if you're too busy being a black Power Ranger?
And Danny's like, oh my God.
Oh my God, how did you know
how
that?
How did you know? In his Iron Bison vest.
Right? With the Power Ranger logo on the other side.
How did you figure it out?
And he's like, well, I saw you change into a Power Ranger, so...
But he doesn't really hold that over his head as much as he's like, how are you going to take care of her when I have all this money?
Yeah, it starts off as like, you've got bigger problems to worry about. You've got the whole world. Like, you can't worry about Kendall. How are you going to save the world if you're too busy worrying about Kendall? And for Danny can be like, I can do both. He's like, you can't do both. That's ridiculous.
This is what I had to say about this. This was the comment I wanted to make is, hey, shouldn't this be Kendall's decision?
Yes, 100%. Because he treats it as if like, haha, checkmate, I have won the game of Kendall. And it's like, well, that's a crappy way to go about being a person, but I guess here you are, Brad. Right.
He's like, how are you going to give her something like this? And he opens this like black jewelry box with this diamond bracelet in it.
And he's like, I'm rich and fancy, and you're a Power Ranger and can't do stuff.
I have a car, and you had to borrow Alyssa's bike.
You had to borrow a college student's bike. And so then he gets a call from Shayla at the not Brad. That would be ridiculous. Danny does.
Hey, Brad, you want to be a Black Power Ranger? You have so much money.
That would be very weird. Danny's like, fine, your job now. I'm going to go be with Kendall. And then, like, he shows up, he's like, hey, I'm the new Black Power Ranger, and Taylor just punches him on the top of the head once, and they're like, we're gonna find a new one. So, Shayla's like, hey, there's a trouble in the park, or whatever it is that she says, and he's like, all right, I'll be right there. And
trouble
then he turns
in the
around. Sure, yeah, I forgot that there was a whole thing. And Brad's like, aha, see? You have to go now, even.
You can't even check on her in the hospital, even though I took you outside of the hospital so that you couldn't.
And he's like, fine. And he like makes a fist and turns around and Brad goes, ah.
Brad's like, oh no, he's gonna deck me. I can't fight a Power Ranger. I didn't think this through.
He's wicked gonna punch my head off. And then he opens his hand and the bracelet's in it. He's like, can you just give this to Kendall for me? And he's like, okay. And he takes it and then Danny runs off to go fight monsters. And then we cut to the hospital room, and Kendall's there with her entire head wrapped in a bandage. Like, she just got brain surgery in a cartoon.
Her head is wrapped in a bandage. This is very important. Just yep. Remember that when she's in the hospital, that her yep. head is wrapped in a bandage, and that's it.
That's all. It seems like she just has a head injury and nothing else. Put it in your pocket. And Robert's being like a wicked rich kid about it. He's like, here's a diamond bracelet. She's like, wow, it's very pretty. And he's like, I knew you had taste. I have so much money and I went to Harvard and I'm connected. And he's going on and on.
He's like, I'm so charming and everybody loves me.
And then he's like, oh, by the way, here's a shitty bracelet that Danny made you himself. Oh,
he doesn't even hand it to her. He just throws it onto the bed.
Throws it on the bed and she grabs it and then she like, looks off to the side and then just has like a flashback of him morphing and her being like, that's a man right there. And then the entire time, Brad does not stop talking.
No, he's just monologuing about how great Brad is.
And then at the end, like, she like kind of comes out of it and he's turned around facing the window and she sneaks out and runs away. And he's like, And I had the sense to get out of the dot-com market before the bubble burst. And I was like, what a timestamp you put on this episode of Power Rangers.
What does that mean?
So,
did the internet die for a minute?
There was, back when the internet was, in like the late 90s, early 2000s, back when the internet was like popping off, like we just figured out how like websites worked and it wasn't just like garbage everywhere, you know. It was still like, you know, not easy to navigate or whatever,
right, or appealing to look at.
Yeah, everyone was like buying up websites and then like selling off websites because it was the first, it was like gold mining, you know, like, yeah, like gold prospecting but website names. And then all of a sudden at once it all burst and everything became useless, and so people lost like a lot of money they had tied up in website futures.
So there's a lot of people just sitting on website names trying to charge $2,000 for them.
That's where it comes from, because they're like, oh, I got beansbeansbeans.com. Nobody wants it. I thought it was going to be the next hot Google.
I thought we were on to something when they introduced the new, like, the dot anythings.
Oh, we were, it was like an hour later, we were like, we got to get this right now.
Yeah. We tried to buy America.online because we knew America Online would pay us a lot of money for
exactly.
it.
Exactly. We were gonna flip it. We were gonna flip or flop this website. And then we tried to buy it, and the website was like, "As this is a matter of national security, you can't take America.online." And I was like, fine. Okay, you got us.
Turns out .com is still a very dominant web address.
It's still the best one to say, I think. The other one is dot horse.
Oh man, hey Jake and Josh dot horse.
That's the Gem Jammer. Their website is I don't know what it is. I actually don't know what it is. It's something dot horse, and I don't know why. I can't remember, but yeah, it's something dot horse, and it's just the funniest thing, because after dot, you expect one of four things.
Yeah.
And it's never horse. Anyway, so he got out before .com crashed, so good for him.
He sold all his websites and didn't buy any new ones.
Yep. He sold Yahoo to Bill Yahoo, who just wanted it for his own vanity search for his, like, tchotchkes he was selling. And he's like, maybe I can make a search engine. I don't know. So we cut to all of the Power Rangers fighting at the church. Danny's just being like moony about Kendall and like thinking about her being like, goodbye, Danny. Like the ghostly specter of Kendall is in the air.
It's so weird because this is a wrap on Brad. He's gone.
Yeah, see you never, Brad.
He's probably still talking about himself in that hospital room to this very day. But he's not imagining like her leaving with Brad and being like mean about it, like, you can't give me what I want, but Brad, she's just like,
let's get married tonight, Brad.
Yeah, she's just woefully like, goodbye, Danny.
And then
she's like
it,
sorry about it, which is really a very weird thing to imagine.
Yeah, it's a weird fantasy to have. And then she shows up though, and she's in her big old head bandage running up.
She has a crutch.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
So
okay,
there's hint number one.
They're planting some seeds. Okay. And she's like, Danny, you are important to the world and you need to fight for the world and et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, hell yeah.
She's like, I'm going to be behind you 100%. Look. And she has the bracelet on.
Right. And then there's like a zoom in on his face and his visor goes clear. And it's like, she's wearing my bracelet. Because Danny's, I guess, 15.
He's about 15.
Because Max is 12.
He's Max's older brother.
Yeah. And then he gets just, by the power of love, he is emboldened and starts wrecking everybody.
He flexes and he's like, now I can do anything! And then Wedding Man takes his big sheer sword. It's like fabric cutting.
Yeah,
like
it's also
got
like a wedding candle mode.
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't get like a great look. I was having a nice bowl of blueberry while I was watching this episode, so I didn't get like a good look at a lot of stuff. But Wedding Man crashes that sword on Danny's back, and he just, like, bounces it off.
Yeah.
In the first instance, maybe, of him being an Iron Bison this season.
Right? And so then he goes about, he's wrecking a whole bunch of knives. At one point, a bunch, like, six of them charge at Kendall, and he, like, just grabs them. He puts his arms out and, like, puts he's a wall. He's like a cow pusher.
Yeah, just pushes them all back. Taylor is actively beating one up, and Danny's like, I got it, and tackles it out of the way, and she misses a punch.
Yeah. He's going a little too ham, I think.
Well, his girls watch it.
That's true. He's got to impress his lady friend.
She's wearing his bracelet, Jake.
Cole calls Merrick. He's like, hey, we're dealing with the org. Try to find where the brides are. And Merrick's like, got it. And then cuts away. And then we go back to Wedding Man, who has like a candle flamethrower sword now.
Maybe it was a candle. That makes more sense for it catching on fire.
Yeah. It could also have been. It looked really weird. But so he's like waving around. It gets his own like bespoke like protagonist attack animations going up again, like hitting all the Power Rangers with it. And then Danny like blocks it or something. I don't actually remember. And then they do a salad slash. And they kill it.
He kicks a fire hydrant and the water puts the fire out on the sword.
I completely missed that. Yeah. I don't know what I was doing.
I don't know what happened before that. They all got hit by it. And he might have even got knocked back into where the fire hydrant was.
Oh, maybe.
And then just kicked the side off of it and it sprayed Wedding Man, putting out the fire. And then they killed him with the Savage Slash.
They Silent Slash him and he throws the candle shears gun thing and Danny grabs it, and then they turn around and while they're doing their pose, Danny just has this weird pink monster weapon. And then Toxica and Jindrak show up, they do the seeds, we get the Zords. Now they're a big Zord fight.
When does Merrick show up? Is it before this?
It right before this, he's on the bike.
Okay.
And then like right after this, or I guess during this.
Because they call, maybe they call him when Wedding Man grows, and they're just like, Merrick, go to the church. The girls have got to be there.
Yeah, while Danny's like wrecking some nights, Cole's just like, go find him, and he's like, got it. And then it just goes away from there.
And he's morphed the entire time. We never see Merrick. We only see the Wolf Ranger.
Yeah. So then the Zord fight, Wedding Man has a veil now. Very nice touch. They get the elephant. And right before they kill it, they call Merrick, or we cut back down to Merrick, and, or no, they kill it first. They kill it with the Pachyderm Crusher. It's not a very long Zord fight. I don't really remember anything that happened in it.
Alyssa is like, elephant, walk him down the aisle. And I'm like, I don't think that's, maybe that's not the right terminology. I mean, that's definitely like the wedding terminology.
A wedding thing, yeah.
But that's not what you say when you murder a monster.
Yeah, I don't know. So then they pack a room crusher and he's dead. And then we cut to Merrick, who like gets into the basement because he hears these women yelling from their mannequin prisons. And he walks in, and I don't know if he's just in time and when Wedding Man died.
No, the door is locked and he shoots it with his pool cue and he goes in and they're all screaming. Wedding Man has blown up already.
Okay.
Because I remember being like, they should no longer be mannequins. He shoots them with his gun and that saves them.
That's what I was gonna ask, because it felt like it was a while that happened, this happened, and they just happened to turn back. But he did also point his gun at them and lasers came out too. Yeah, so
as he walks in, he's like, I'm here to save you, and then he shoots them.
That I feel like wouldn't work.
I don't think so.
But I guess
unless it has a unmannequin mode on it.
I mean, you know, who knows? But then they all transform. They're back into women, and there's like five of them, and they all run up to Merrick and start like kissing him and like grabbing at him. And I guess they just have a six-way that we don't see.
Yeah,
because we cut away, and it.
I remember being like, I don't think they needed to get all brassers about it.
Yeah, they got pretty spicy about that. So then we cut back to Danny. And he comes to talk to Kendall. He's like, hey, Kendall. And she's like, oh, Danny, I'm glad you're here. And he's like, how's your foot? And she's like, all better. And does like a little like heel click. I don't know when her foot got injured, but I guess it's better now.
I don't know. Because it was just her feet were out and normal in the hospital.
She had a crutch, and I guess they were hoping everyone picked up on that.
Why wrap her
head? And not the giant head bandage.
Wrap her foot.
Right?
Put it in a cast or something. Just something that's like the foot is the injured part. Not a big bandage on her head that was going to cure her twisted ankle.
He should have been like, how's your ankle? And she'd be like, great. And does a click. And then when she lands, she goes, ooh, but my concussion is still pretty bad. And she's like, Danny, I need to tell you something. You need to concentrate on being a Power Ranger because you're extremely important to the Earth. And like, I couldn't.
Yeah. Like, she's like, I realize how important and noble your mission is. And yeah. You can't just be worried about me. You have to worry about the whole planet.
Yeah. And
which
I
get what is happening and I get what she's saying. And Danny, I think, has the same idea because he seems a little more relieved after she says it than anything.
Yeah.
But it's like, isn't he going to worry about her more now?
Absolutely. For sure. And I also feel like there could have been some line about like, I'll wait for you or like, you know, when you're done, like,
yeah.
Come find me. Come look me up, and we'll
like Don,
try this again.
Like Don said to Max, when you're done with what you're doing, look me up.
Yeah. I think that would work a lot better than him just being like, thanks for understanding, and then leaving, and then her just like looking sad, touching her bracelet while he walks up to his friends. I like Taylor. Taylor like pats him on the shoulder, and she's like, how'd it go? And he's like, yeah, it was fine, I guess.
So now she knows who all the Power Rangers are.
Yeah, well, I mean, once you know who one is, it's really easy to figure out the rest of them, right?
And as they're walking away, Max kicks him in the ass and is like, you think you're tougher than me? And then runs away.
Yeah, and they start, like, horsing around, and Danny chases after him. And then we cut back to her, and she smiles, and then we never see her again.
I don't think so. I looked her up. Here's a fun piece of trivia about this.
Ooh, okay. Hit me.
I looked up Kendall before this because I was like, was that the name of the girl before? And I asked you that. But before I asked you, I looked it up and I couldn't really find a concrete answer to that.
Her name was Kendall before and still is.
But it is the same person. She's played by Sandra McCoy.
Okay.
Who was originally cast for the role of Alyssa, but for unknown reasons, they gave it to Jessica Rae instead.
Huh. That's weird.
That's very weird.
I think maybe I
like Jessica Rae as Alyssa. I think she does a good job. But I think Kendall would be a good Alyssa too.
I think so. I think and I it's not really fair because we've seen Alyssa 20 times and Kendall twice. And so like we've got a lot more range from her, but it seems like she's got more of a range than Kendall does, but like at the same time she's playing one specific character trope basically.
Yeah,
so like we don't really get a lot of it. Yeah, I would have liked to see something. I feel like there is absolutely, this is the problem with Power Rangers being a show for babies, is that it doesn't realize that like the drama of juggling that would be good too, right?
Yeah,
I think this is the problem of being like, it's a straight adaptation. Jonathan Zacher.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, you can't like get a little weird with it. Like sometimes that really works when like it turns out that the Yellow Ranger, like Taylor's story is like the same as the Yellow Ranger in Gow Ranger.
Mm.
And it works way better for a woman, I think, than a man.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of generic for a guy, for it to happen to a guy, but like they don't do anything. They don't like get any room to be like, well, let's just see what this Kendall story could be, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, and that's a lot of the charm of the first season, is the only thing that they follow is the fighting part.
Yeah,
everything else is a completely original story. And so they have a lot of room to work with the characters and like introduce a lot of stuff, whereas when they do it this way, they don't really have that kind of freedom.
Yeah, because like in the first season, there was like, well, there's a monster that spits flowers. Oh, like, yeah, how flowers on a float, like a parade float? What if Kimberly has to make a parade float? And they're like, yeah.
And Rita totally trashes it and ruins Kimberly's life for a week.
Yeah, and it's very sad. Or like, hey, this episode's about like a weird kind of genie monster. And they're like, yeah, so Billy and Kim switch bodies. And they're like, yeah, that sounds about right. Like, I just wish they would get weird with it like that again. The Sentai is good, but trying to figure out what makes it Power Rangers is, I think, always better.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it when Power Rangers is not the American version of a Super Sentai.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of like any like updates of Power Rangers or like fan films or things. Like, I feel like a lot of them missed the mark, or well, not maybe not Power Rangers fan films, but like homages. Things are like, this is like a Power Rangers, you know, whatever. This comic is kind of like Power Rangers, but different. Like, they never quite get what makes it Power Rangers is that, like, the footage is a necessity.
Yeah.
Not like the outline. It's like, we just got to put this in somewhere and figure out how we can get to that in our way. And I feel like that's, like, the secret sauce is, like, figuring out what makes that work. Anyway, that's the end of the episode. Josh, you started.
I did.
I get to pick the best.
It's getting tough.
Yeah.
It's either like there wasn't anything great or there wasn't anything awful. So we're having a hard time picking one or the other.
Yeah. I mean, I have a worst.
I do too.
It is a pretty easy worst for me. I think the best is when Danny grabs all six putties and just throws them at one. Putsky's them out of a church.
Danny going Hulk mode and just like, I'm going to beat up everything here.
Yeah. Because of love. I think that was good. That's the best. What about you?
Yeah, I can't think of anything else. Because nothing was really like a standout, really awesome thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll agree with that.
Worst is Kendall being treated as a prize and not a person.
Yep.
Pretty easy.
Pretty easy worst on this one.
There's a line in the Disney film Aladdin where Jasmine literally says, I am not a prize to be won. And that came out in like 95, my dudes. So like, it was a pretty popular movie. Maybe learn something from it. MVP, I'm going to say, is Kendall. She deserves it.
Yeah, I like Kendall a lot. I wish we would see her again, but from what I looked at, it does not look like, it looks like this was it.
The curtain wrap on.
Yeah, the brief character synopsis ends with her finding out he's a Power Ranger and them deciding that it wouldn't work.
Ah, bummer. I want the end of Wild Force to be like Danny and her get together. Max goes back to bowling. Alyssa graduates college. Taylor keeps being a Power Ranger, but solo.
And Cole, you know.
and also Merrick, too.
And yeah, Cole and Merrick can just
go to the jungle or something.
Yeah, Merrick will just keep living and working at the bar.
Yeah.
He seems to like that. And Cole will go back to the farm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Cole will go back to the farm. Absolutely. Now we got to rank the episode, though.
I don't think it should be very high.
I don't either. A lot of the problem with Danny episodes is they hinge on Danny doing a lot and talking a lot, and he's not a great actor.
No. Probably the weakest of the bunch, I would say.
I would say up until Merrick showed up, for sure.
Yeah.
So
how do we think this compares to the last one, the tornado spin?
Well, the tornado spin... I like the tornado spin better because it got like full-on sports anime about it.
And it has Don.
It had Don, who was like my favorite Mario brother.
Where this one has...
After Irio Mario.
This one has Kendall, but it also has Brad, and I don't think even Kendall, if it was just her, lives up to Dawn.
No, I don't think so. Because again, like, Dawn was a character. Kendall is like a plot point.
Right.
And that sucks. Also, and just again to remind everyone, Brad is a name that we gave him because he didn't get one. Which is a pretty big oversight for your primary non-monster antagonist.
Your rival character.
So, definitely under Tornado Spin. I don't remember what the Lone Wolf was. Hold on, let's see if I still got
it. Is that the one when Merrick goes to the bar, or is that still a Zenoku episode?
Well, hold on. After a failed attempt to retrieve the stolen animal crystals, Merrick must fight the Quadra Org. Oh, yeah, that was just, that was the one where Merrick gets his wolf powers.
Okay.
Yeah, that one was not great.
I think this might be better than that.
I think this is better than that. Identity Crisis was, hold on, Zenoku begins to remember, and Nezora plants a bug in his head.
This might be better than that, too, because this is, like, a story.
Yeah, so I think Under Tornado spin above Identity Crisis.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So the new number 14, Three's a Crowd. And that's going to do it for us for today. On Monday, we are going to be watching A Father's Footsteps.
Ooh.
Which we should be having a guest on for. Stay tuned. 99% sure we're going to have a guest. We do have a new recording schedule that's, you know, kind of counterintuitive to people who work regular jobs most of the time.
Or just like work. Yeah.
Yeah. So we should be good. So maybe we won't, but pretty sure we're going to have a guest. It's going to be a good time. We will see you on Monday for that. But until then,
may the power protect you. All right, I'm on.
I also am on, too, as well.
Mike's hot.
We're live, pal. One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
Six.
I have dice near me, and that's a bad idea, so I'm just going to toss those over there.